Hi, my name is Marty Barnhart. I'm the Director of Ministry Expansion here at Christ Community Church. Today, we have the privilege of reading in Revelation chapters 1 through 3. This is an amazing book that you are now beginning to read as you finish up Project 4-4 this year. It's a mysterious book, probably the most mysterious of the Bible. It's a controversial book, and also it's a book that talks about the revelation or the apocalypse that we will read about and what is going to happen at the end of the age and beyond. It's the only book of the Bible that tells the reader they'll be blessed if they read it, and yet most folks would rather skip over it. The book of Revelation was given to John, the apostle, while he was in exile on the island of Patmos. When his exile ended, John went to Ephesus, where he lived out the remainder of his life. Revelation is a book that perhaps has frightened you in the past, not only because of the subject matter in these chapters, but also because of the bewildering number of interpretive schemes that have been advanced through the ages. It is full of Old Testament images and references. Your growing knowledge of the Bible will certainly put you in a better position than ever before to both recognize and interpret those allusions. The book is also full of apocalyptic symbols and language, which may frighten us and will confuse us as attempts are made over and over again to describe persons and things which defy human description. Today, in the description of Christ Jesus as John perceived him in chapter 1, we have an example of symbols and language that I've just noted. The language John uses here in this chapter is rooted in the Old Testament, in particular in the book of Daniel, where he uses the title Son of Man. Most of the features of this awesome description are drawn from Daniel's visions in chapter 7 and chapter 10 of the Old Testament prophet's book. The candlestand recalls a scene we viewed in the book of Zechariah, and the words that Christ Jesus himself speaks in Revelation 1 are drawn from the book of Isaiah, where they are spoken by Jehovah himself, a wonderful reference to the deity of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The quotation here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 also comes from the book of Zechariah, chapter 12, which prophesies that those who had pierced him will see him, and those who see him will mourn because of him. Now, before I go any further, I'd like to take just a few moments to give you some observations about how we should approach the interpretation of this wonderfully mysterious book. Number one. We must always keep in mind the principle that the primary meaning is the one which would have made sense to the first century readers of this book. John wrote this book to comfort a persecuted church toward the end of the first century. Number two, this book of Revelation is built around a series of visions, and we must not adopt any interpretive scheme which violates the integrity of that structure. Each vision begins with a reference to the Spirit of God. John says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Number three, interpret what is obscure in light of what is plain, not the other way around. This is a rule of biblical hermeneutics or biblical interpretation that we seek to use as we read the entire Bible. The first vision then begins in chapter 1, verse 9, and covers all of chapters 1 through 3. In it, John sees the glorified Christ walking among seven lampstands, which represent seven churches in Asia Minor. If you were to take a walking tour, it's as if you would walk through each of these churches as you work through the Asia Minor region. There is a clearly identifiable pattern that is followed by most of the seven messages or letters that are delivered here. Each begins, number one, with a commendation. Number two, a condemnation which follows of something that is lacking. Three, a call to repentance. Four, a warning. And five, a magnificent promise, which begins with the words, "He who has an ear, let him hear." If you were to chart the churches, you would notice that the letter to the churches at Sardis and Laodicea are missing a commendation, and Smyrna contains no condemnation. I'm sure also that you noticed the name of the Nicolaitans, and as it jumped out to you, you noticed they were condemned in both the letter to the Ephesian church and the letter to the church at Pergamum. I'm sorry to tell you, I don't have any advanced knowledge or any understanding of this group at all. Also, there's no identification for Jezebel condemned in the letter to the church at Thyatira. though there is no mystery about her offenses. Clearly from our reading this week, the early church had an enormous problem in these churches with false teachers and with apostasy. In order to help you understand the interpretations, I need to drop three words on you right now. Preterist is the first, who believe that the book of Revelation addresses only the churches of the first century and speaks of events which relate only to them. According to these folks, it has no prophetic significance for you and me. Historicists believe that the book of Revelation deals with prophecies relating to the various periods of church history. And finally, futurists believe that most or even all of the book relates to an end-time set of events and has little or no immediate relevance to first-century readers. There may be some validity to the historicist view that the letters to these seven churches do fit some aspects of church history, but please remember that each one of the churches was a real church. Of first and primary interpretation, these fit into a preterist view that they're real churches, existed in John's day, and in turn, he had a message for them. Perhaps a hybrid view would be a preterist and futurist view, seeing both history and prophecy yet to come. I want you to notice as well this great invitation of Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. As Jesus stands at the door and knock, quite often we use this verse with our evangelistic presentations, and indeed, we can apply it that way, but primarily the interpretation was a call for this church in Laodicea to repent, turn from the way they were living, and change the way they would live out the rest of their lives. As you continue to read, take a moment to link the Old Testament to the reading in Revelation today. You'll be blessed by the study, and I know you'll see connections that perhaps you've missed. Think about commendations and condemnations as you read today. If God made a list of commendations for you and me, what would he say about us? What would he say by way of condemnation? If you thought of any, take the time to confess it. Remove and replace those items with practices that will honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep reading, because we're almost at the end of the Bible. And thanks so much for listening today and, again, going through Project 4-4.